please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, I'm in a sing-song mood-worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. Hey, Christy, I realize that some of our listeners may not actually know how subscription to the Optimist Daily works. And so I want to just take a second to explain that our writers publish 10 positive news stories every single day. And if you are a Optimist subscriber, meaning you participate in the free subscription, every morning you get a newsletter at right around 6 a.m. that has our top 5 headlines. And if you're an Emissary subscriber, right around 6 a.m., you get our top 10 solutions. So before you have even gotten out of bed, unless you have a toddler, but before you've even gotten out of bed for most of us, and while you're drinking your first cup of coffee, you can scroll through on your phone and look at 10 positive headlines before you go down the rabbit hole of all the other media that might make you feel not great.
It's good. Clarifying question, Summers, is it 6 a.m. Pacific time or is it not time zone dependent?
You know what? We used to have it not time zone dependent, but we, I think, had to switch to 6 a.m. Pacific simply because we had
to. Depending on where you are in the world,
true.
It could be 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. or it could be afternoon if you're sitting over in England.
All right. So maybe not crack of dawn for the entire world, but like early-ish.
People should just arrange their sleeping schedule so that they wake up to the Optimist Daily.
I think that's probably a pretty.
Depending on where you are. And that's when you your alarm.
Right. Like we just need to get everybody on our schedule. So something about schedules that I have noticed as we are getting later into the summer and the sun is rising a smidge later, I am noticing that my mornings feel a little quieter, even though the baby is still waking up quite early. And when it's not so bright early in the morning, which is crazy that it's just been a month since we had the summer solstice, just a bit more than a month. And already the mornings are not feeling quite as bright. How has your morning been? Did you meditate? Did you do yoga? What did you do?
I did a little stretch. I did do that. I went for a walk with Tucker and I read all my newsletters, which takes me a long time to get through. And I talked with my husband. We had a just good coffee conversation before he left for work.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, that sounds. And how's Tucker doing this morning? How's his Instagram doing?
It's good. He's got like 14 followers now or something like
that. Oh my gosh, he's going viral.
I did have to stop at Pete's Coffee yesterday because it's right near my mailbox. And I got him a little mini cup of cream, which he drank.
So but that's on the his little Pupperino Cafe or whatever they call it. Yeah. The pup cups.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, so it's pretty fun.
Right. Well, I have kind of big news. Guess who's walking?
I saw.
Like fully walking. So over the weekend, I sent Christy a video of just like 3 little steps. But we officially have a walker.
Which
from one side of the room to the other and back.
Major milestone, Summers. But I'm sorry for you because now you can't turn your head away. For one second.
She has been a very zippy baby for a long time, but her crawl is just like this lightning fast crawl. I don't know if you've seen The Incredibles, but she's definitely like that baby. But we officially last night were furiously looking up baby gates on Amazon because all of my baby containment devices that I have no longer contain her. And it's super exciting. And my husband was like, oh, have you told your parents? And I said, no, I haven't really told them that she's full on walking yet. And we decided not to tell them yet. because we're going to surprise them tomorrow. So this is a test. If my dad's listening to this week's Optimus Daily Updates, he'll know. But Dad, don't tell Mom. Anyway, it's pretty exciting, but also sort of terrifying. We are very much looking for a new place to live fast because I'm not sure it's even possible to childproof this home. So it's fun and darling and a little panicked. And then also she's in a sleep regression again because she's so excited that she can walk. So last night we went to bed at 11:30 and we were up at 4 just so she could practice walking. So I'm going to let you take the lead on first story this morning and I'm going to quietly drink my cup of coffee and nod approvingly at your thoughts.
Okay. The headline that I wanted to focus on. And today's stories are full of great food stories, which was really fun. It's a Wednesday of food.
It's a delicious day on the Optimus Daily.
And it's great because I'm working on a story for our Solutions News radio show for Friday on food scarcity. And we're featuring the executive director of Santa Barbara's food bank. And I'm writing a little article about SNAP and some other solutions there, which aren't for the Optimus Daily. That's for a radio show that I produce. But the future of food, the world's biggest rooftop urban farm is now bearing fruit. This is the headline that I'm focusing on. It's the lead headline today on the Optimus Daily. And I just think this is wonderful. It spotlights a rooftop urban farm in Paris. We wrote about this back in 2019, that it was under construction, but now it's been about a year and it is finally producing incredible produce out there. Strawberries are popping up, as they're described, small, intensely flavored, and resplendently red. I just think that's such a very...
I know, that alliteration. Well alliteration done, writers.
Got me going. Absolutely. That's from the article. But it's really amazing. It's basically the rooftop that is about 14,000 square meters. It's equivalent to 2 football fields on a rooftop. But not only are they using the horizontal space, they're also doing vertical columns, which helps to increase the volume. So they're going up by using vertical aeroponics, right? It's not using soil so much up there. I think that might be too heavy to do on a rooftop, but it is using air kinds of fertilization. It's using coco coir, which is coconut fiber, and it's to grow things in alternative growth mediums compared to what we're used to in a farm. But it's going to be producing tremendous amounts of produce. In one day, for example, the young urban farmers who are tending this farm in the rooftop in Paris, the organization is Nature Urbaine. That's the operation. In one day, they picked 3,000 lettuces, 150 small baskets of strawberries. They have chard up there. They have aubergine. Only 1/3 is currently planted. And when the remaining 2/3 is in production, there's going to be 20 staff. And they're harvesting up to 1,000 kilograms of perhaps 35 different varieties of fruits and vegetables every day. And that's what the future of food might look like in cities. It's hyper-local, sustainable, pesticide-free, and it's operated by the community. And I love this solution. I think this is a perfect Optimus Daily story.
Well, you know, near the Optimus Daily headquarters in Santa Barbara, there's a hotel that has a whole bunch of those aeroponic growing stations, basically, and they grow a lot of the produce for the kitchen at the hotel. And, you know, this notion is not new. It has been around forever. And certainly where I went to school in Berkeley, there's a famous chef and gardener named Alice Waters, who has a restaurant up there that does this. I just think that it's so neat to see what more innovative restaurants and hotels have been doing as far as growing their own produce on the property that they have, that now is going toward more populations and allowing us to be local and have just a better distribution of food. You know, food uncertainty is huge. Food scarcity itself is not. It's distribution issues.
It is distribution. But there's some communities that really are what they call food deserts.
Food desert.
And exactly. In the urban environments where there's not a grocery store that even has fresh produce, right? And so if your main store in your within walking distance is a Dollar Tree or something that exactly. maybe they sell canned food, but you don't have any opportunities to have lettuce, what do you do in that situation? And that is a real issue with health and getting a good balanced diet too.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really neat to see that this is happening in an urban environment. You know, we live in this bountiful area in Central California. And the next story that we'll talk about really taps into just how bountiful our area is.
Before we get there, though, like one of the things I find interesting about urban farming is some of the cities that you wouldn't necessarily think of are on the forefront. Like I think Detroit, Michigan, yep. where there's been a huge decrease in population. There's lots of empty land because of that in the city centers. And there's a pretty solid movement there. It's partly about resilience. It's about bringing fresh produce into the inner cities, into places that otherwise don't have that kind of grocery store. And it's about self-reliance and resilience. And I think these are really interesting ways of addressing food scarcity and food insecurity and distribution problems mm-hmm. that are really important to look at. And also it feels good. I'm a gardener and I've had the opportunity to grow things and to grow food. And it's magical to see something that you planted from a seed actually, you know, a few months later, give you strawberries or give you a zucchini and put food on your table. There's something really magical about that.
Yeah. Well, the opportunity to expand at-home gardening also mm-hmm. comes with the opportunity to harvest at-home gardening and spread it and share it. The headline that I want to talk about, it reads, GreenSpot finds community nutrition solutions in California's bountiful backyards. So Santa Barbara-based GreenSpot, and of course, we know that we live in a very verdant area, but they are looking to share the produce riches and promote nutritious local food with its harvesting and hosting programs. Basically, what GreenSpot is doing is it's identifying folks who have fruit trees or, you know, vegetable gardens in their homes and need assistance in harvesting and distribution of those. So anyone who has a lemon tree or a tangerine tree in their yard knows, you know, and certainly grapefruit trees, knows that there's only so many tangerines, grapefruits, or lemons any one family can consume. But this organization puts together the harvesters who will go in and redirect this supply to local markets, food banks, and community distributors. The exchange property owners receive resources for helping their trees and their, you know, basically all of the resources that are necessary to ensure continued bountiful production for these plants. The organization was founded around 2019, just a neighborhood-based micro farming program, and it's been a real success. So far this year, they've distributed over 700,000 pounds of fruits, citrus, avocados, pomegranates, all of the stuff that thrives where we are. What I love about this solution is that it's not only helping the families who are growing this produce, but it's also helping the produce production itself. So it's kind of a win-win. You basically are getting a garden team to come help you, as well as helping the community. So areas where this is possible, if you live in an area where you are able to grow produce, think about looking into organizations like this or perhaps found one yourself. You could be part of the solution, changing consciousness by creating your own food share program. So GreenSpot, well done. Very excited to read more about it, as well as to read the article, Christy, that you are working on, or hear the article you are working on for Solutions News about Santa Barbara's food bank. What else do we have on the Optimist Daily today that we should be reading?
Well, there's a headline about just stating the fact that we are in a time of transition, and here's some pointers on how to make the most of it.
That one talks about Arianna Huffington's essay, which is fantastic. She recommends everybody read a book by Bruce Feiler called Life is in Transition, Mastering Change at Any Age. That one is a great lead into handling all the transitions that we are in the middle of.
We're being faced with.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, it's just happening, right? There's a good story about sniffer dogs that are able to detect coronavirus with incredible accuracy. And we've, I think, written similar stories in the past about how dogs are being trained to sniff cancer, and Alzheimer's is another thing that they can smell. I just love stories about dogs. And there's an article about how just attempting a plant-based diet can help lower blood pressure. You don't have to be perfect in it, but actually adding more fresh fruits and vegetables and focusing on plant-based foods really can help you lower your risk of heart disease. Headline, if 50% of people would just take these three steps, we could really stop the spread of COVID-19. And it's simple. It's about really taking responsibility. Read that article.
Yeah, for sure.
Learn what those are. Underscoring that. Microsoft has launched two initiatives that will help corporations slash emissions. Banish back pain with these spine strengthening exercises. This is another wonderful yoga story, actually.
As soon as we hang up, I am doing this today. Before I get ready for our next meeting, I need, yes.
Yeah. Our uncomfortable home office chairs are not conducive to.
You know, this chair that I'm sitting in, I got when I was in business school, and I was so sure it was going to be the most comfortable chair for studying. And you know what? It really was. It was really comfortable for studying 2 hours or 3 hours and then going elsewhere to study. And it is not the perfect chair to sit in 8 hours a day.
Summers, you know, the first thing I actually bought when I started working from home was an office chair, a proper sitting chair, because after the first 2 weeks of working from home, I was like, there's no way I can do this.
Yeah.
NASA's got a stadium-sized high-altitude balloon to watch for newborn stars. It's a new technique for watching the heavens. Another story based in France. France is bringing back the freight train in a push to the green economy. And those are our top 10. It. Solutions. Yeah. Go read them and talk to you all tomorrow. Let's see.
I'll take us home. And you know what, Christy? I'm going to just do it fast. I'm going to say thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us. And everybody, just become an emissary. Do it. You know you want to. Come on. $5 a month. Get on it.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we will be here again tomorrow.
Let's keep the Optimist Daily free to those who need it and supported by those who can. Take care, everybody.